Amen. Again, thanks for being here today. It's great to see you. We are suspending for one Sunday our study of James. If you've been with us, you know we're working through the New Testament book of James on Sunday morning. But we're going to suspend that for this morning and pick back up where we left off in James next Sunday. But I want to tell you a story. So I hope you're in the mood for a story, because if you're not, get ready, because you're going to hear it anyway. Good, good. In July of 2014, I came home from a mission trip to Haiti that I'd been on, and I've been going to Haiti on mission trips really since 1997. So this was one of many mission trips that I had been on over the years. And one of the common themes every year that I would come home from a mission trip would be this heart-wrenching desire to want to bring kids home with me. And I think that was probably the case of everyone that was always on the trip. But one of the things that we did there would be work at an orphanage there in downtown Port-au-Prince and a school there. And our hearts would just go out to these children. And so every year I would come home, and Carrie was never able to go with me on these trips because at the time our boys were all very young. And so she would stay home and hold the fort down and take care of the boys. And I would come home and tell her about the trip. And every time I would come home, I would usually say something like this: "Sweetie, we so need to really consider bringing some of these kids home with us to be a part of our family and give them a home here with us." And then a couple of weeks would go by, a few weeks would go by, and life would just kind of get back to normal, and that thought would just kind of fade. Then in July of 2014, on the mission trip that we took that year, I met a young lady named Shina, and we just kind of instantly connected. And at the time, she was 12 years old. She knew no English, or at the very best, just a few words, maybe. And so we managed to communicate through translators, and then just through trying to express the best we could what we wanted to say to one another. And through that, she told me that she also had a brother, a 9-year-old brother, and his name was Fawinski. And we just kind of all got to know each other a little bit. It was on that trip that we, that particular year, got to do something that we don't normally get to do. And we had the opportunity to take all the children from the orphanage to the beach or to the ocean that year. And we didn't normally get to do that. That was kind of a special deal that we got to do that year. And so we took all of the 90-plus children from that orphanage to the ocean. And it was an incredible experience. As a matter of fact, I think I have a picture up on the screen of me in the ocean with some of the kids. It's not Shine and Fawinski in this picture. These were other orphanage kids, but we were there in the ocean. And as a matter of fact, it was there in the ocean that I actually met Fawinski for the first time. That was where Shina pointed out, "Hey, this is my brother." And so we really met Fawinski for the first time in the waters there off of Port-au-Prince there in Haiti. We finished that trip, get to the last day, and we are getting ready to leave. As a matter of fact, I have a picture of our last day of that trip. Chance, my oldest son, Chandler, my middle son, was with me on that particular trip in 2014. And that Shina sticking her head through right there between Chance and I. And that was the last day of that trip. We were just about to head back to the airport. Prior to that day, the evening before that day, I sat down with Dr. Jacob Bernard, and just kind of asked him about Shina and Fawinski. And I said, tell me their story. What is their deal? Why are they here? What is going on with them?" And so he explained to me their story and how their mother had tragically passed away when Shina was 5 and Fawinski was 2. And just kind of filled me in on the details of their life. And I said, "Well, if I wanted to seriously consider adopting them, what would we need to do?" And so we kind of talked through that just a little bit, and I said, "Well, here's the deal." And Almost every year I was there, I would always talk to him about adoption. So I think he just thought, okay, let me go through this one more time with Brad. And I said, well, let me go home, let me talk to Carrie, and then I will let you know something here in the next several weeks. So did that, went home, got back to our house and told Carrie all about the trip once again, and said, we met two children there that are named Shina and Fawinski that I really feel like God is laying on my heart that these really might be the two children that we need to adopt. And again, Carrie had heard me say this every year for 10 plus years at this point. And I said, let's really take some moments and pray and just see what God might do. And so she agreed. And so we spent some time to just pray about this and see if it just kind of faded away again this time or if it stayed. And so after several weeks of praying and just really seeking the Lord's will, we agreed, let's take the next step. Not fully committing yet, not really fully going all in, but let's just take the next step and see if the Lord continues to lead us through this process. And so I called up Dr. Bernard, Jacob, and said, okay, what do we need to do just to take the next step? And so he explained that next step to us and the paperwork that needed to be filled out. And so we did that. We took that next step and just decided, let's continue to pray and let's just see where the Lord might lead us in this. Well, little did we know that 4.5 years later, God would continue to lay on our heart a heavy conviction that this is exactly what I want you to do. Going into it, we did not dream that it would take this long, but it was a 4.5 year process that God led us on. And on Tuesday of this past week, March 5th, now I was given permission to fly to Haiti to bring home Shina and Fawinski. If you've been following the news or Haiti at all, you know that Haiti is in a difficult time right now. There's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of instability. And they've had some rioting. They're trying to oust the president. And they're trying to create a atmosphere of just complete havoc so the president will resign and relief will come. And so there's a level 4 travel advisory, which is the highest level you can have, which says do not travel to Haiti. And so I decided that I would just go, or Carrie and I decided that she would stay behind, because if something did happen over there while I was there, I didn't want to have to worry about her on top of everything else. And we were given permission. Typically, we have to go for a 6-day stay, but because of the unrest, we were given permission just to go in, get the kids, and get out as quickly as we possibly could. And so that's what we did. I flew in on Tuesday, went and got all the paperwork early Wednesday morning, which would have been March the 6th, went to the United States Embassy there, got all of our their visas and all the necessary paperwork that was needed there, and then we got on a plane headed back for home on Wednesday afternoon of March 6th, better known as Gotcha Day. That's what we're calling it, Gotcha Day. And God, just miraculously, everything happened in a manner that was totally a blessing. We faced no problems. We faced no issues whatsoever. Everything went as smooth as it could possibly go. And then we arrived back home with Shina and Fawinski on Wednesday evening, March the 6th. And so after a long 4.5 year process, it is my incredibly overwhelming privilege to get to introduce to our church family for the first time Shina and Fawinski Cockrell. Let me bring them up here on stage real quick. You guys come up here. Amazing. I promised them that they would not have to say anything. They're very nervous at the moment. When I first went over to Haiti to bring these guys home, they were so excited, and we were talking about this first Sunday, and they said, "Oh, Dad, we'll sing a song for the church." Well, as soon as we got back, Dad said, "Not doing that." But you will have an opportunity. I want to bring all of my family up on stage real quick. My wife, Carrie. So everyone, some of you maybe don't know all of my family, and so I want to be able to put a name with a face for you guys. So Carrie, come on up. Chance, our oldest son, Chandler. Our middle son, Cameron. Our youngest son, you guys come on up and join us up here for just a moment. And so this is the Cockrell family right here. Blessed beyond on measure. And I probably should really bring Jordan up here as well. Jordan, you go ahead and come on up, because in just a few short months, she's going to be a Cockrell as well. Jordan and my oldest son, Chance, are engaged, and they will be married on August the 10th. And so welcome to this madness, Jordan. But we could not be more thrilled, and we know that God has taken us on this journey, and it is not by any means complete yet. This is just the next step in the journey that God has us on, as they are home, and a lot of adjustments this week already, and trying to learn just to live life here and all the differences. They've never been out of Haiti up until Wednesday. It was their first time on an airplane. It was their first time stepping into the United States when we got off the plane in Miami, and then just all of the adjustments that they are trying to make here at home, and figuring out, hey, this is the way that we do things here. The food is a little different than what they're used to. The routine and the life is a little different than what they're used to, but they're making great adjustments, and so we are so thrilled that God has brought us to this point in the journey. And so, amen, hallelujah, to God be the glory. I want to take the remainder of our time this morning to just share some lessons with you that we have learned, or that God has just confirmed in our life through this adoption process. And the first lesson has really been a lesson in faith. It's been a lesson in learning to totally and completely trust God. There's absolutely no way that Carrie and I could have ever accomplished this or made it through this process without God's provision. We entered into this adoption process in a step of faith, in a complete faith, trusting that God, if He was truly calling us to do this, would provide for us and the children and meet our every need every step of the way. And that's exactly what God has done. We have had just a deeper sense of what it means, or we've come to know in a deeper sense of what it means to completely take a step of faith and just trust God with the process. Verses like Psalm 37:5 come to mind when we are told, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do it." And that's exactly what we did from the very beginning, is we just said, "God, if this is what you want us to do, then we're going to commit this to you, and we're just going to trust you. And we're going to trust that if you want to do this, then you're going to be the one who will accomplish it. You're going to be the one who will bring it about." This really, Psalm 37:5, could be the theme verse of our adoption, is just commit your way to the Lord, commit what you are doing in faith, trusting that God is leading you to accomplish what you could never possibly accomplish on your own, and just let Him do it. And that's exactly what God has done. Another verse is Psalm 62:8 that speaks towards trusting in God, when it says, "Trust in God at all times. pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. And again, that's what we've done through this whole process. We just had to say, God, we trust in You. And we've spent untold moments pouring out our heart before the Lord in this process. Just saying, God, we don't know how this is going to look, how it's all going to work, how it's all going to come together. We don't know the timing. We don't know what is going to be the end game here. But what we do know is that You're in charge of this. And so we're just going to pour out our hearts to You and let You be our refuge. Let You be our strength and let You bring about this purpose that You are wanting to accomplish in each of our lives. Proverbs 3:5 is a verse that many of you are probably very familiar with, but it just simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And again, that's what we've had to do. We've had to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. If we had trusted in our own understanding, we would have bailed out a long time ago. We would have quit and given up long ago. And one of the ways that we've had to trust in the Lord through this process is knowing that it's not about our timing, but it's about His timing. And it's about His perfect timing. And again, when we entered in, we had no idea that it would take this long. And so there's been grueling, frustrating moments along the way as the process seemed forever slow. But we simply knew that in God's timing, again, He would accomplish what He set out to accomplish from the very beginning. Another way that we've had to completely trust God is through the financial provision of this process. When we first entered in and in those first few steps we took, one of the first questions we asked is, what is the financial commitment that we're looking at here? And we were told at the time that to adopt two children from Haiti was about a $40,000 commitment. And so Carrie and I looked at each other and said, no way that's happening on our own. And if God is going to lead us to do this, then He's going to have to provide the financial means as well. And then once again, that's exactly what has happened. Really, as we got into it, we discovered that it was not just a $40,000 commitment, but it's actually been over a $50,000 financial commitment. But God has been faithful to provide for those means every step of the way. And we were able to raise a significant portion of that cost that would make it very affordable for us. And again, this was God's doing, not our own. The lesson is, if God is calling you to do something, then you put your faith and you put your hope and you put your trust in Him and just let Him be God and do what God does, which is things far above and beyond what we could ever accomplish on our own strength, on our own doing, on our own power. A second lesson that we've learned through this adoption is the importance of perseverance, of never giving up. If you want to make an impact, you don't give up. You don't give up on doing what God has called you to do. Don't stop doing what God calls you to do just because trouble shows up or things don't go exactly the way that you expected them to go. Trust me, there were times in this process where we thought about quitting, where we said, is this really worth it? Is it really ever going to happen, or should we just bail on the whole thing? And God never let us do that. And this process has reminded us of the importance of persevering through the hard and the difficult moments and not giving up on the dream of what God originally laid on our heart that He wanted to accomplish. Galatians 6:9 tells us not to lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And again, this verse could very well be our theme verse as well, because it reminds us, don't lose heart. You're doing a good thing. Don't quit. Don't give up. In due time, if you stay faithful and you continue to trust the Lord, you will reap a harvest. And again, we have been recipients of that harvest coming to fruition as God has richly blessed us. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And again, God has reminded us, don't quit, don't give up, because your toil, your efforts, your perseverance will not be in vain, that God will bless that. Another verse that I want to share with you that, again, speaks so clearly to this perseverance and the adoption, and that, once again, could be the theme verse of our adoption, is Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. Nehemiah 6, verse 3, Nehemiah says this. He says, "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down." If you know the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was called by God. It was placed on Nehemiah's heart to return to Jerusalem from captivity, to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall that had been torn down around the city of Jerusalem by their enemies. And so Nehemiah responds to what God laid on his heart, and he returns. And from the time he gets in Jerusalem, he's met with difficult times. He's met with discouragement. There are enemies who want to discourage him. There are enemies who threaten him. There are enemies who tell him that he's wasting his time. There are enemies who say, if you do not stop this, then we will attack you. We will prevent you from doing what you are doing. And in this particular verse, Nehemiah is being asked by his enemies to come and stop the work that he's doing and just meet with him, saying, we want to discuss this with you. And this is his response. I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. And again, that has been our mindset, has been our thinking through this whole process. When it would have been easy to quit, would have been easy to just give up and stop, God reminding us, you're doing a great work. Do not quit. Do not stop. Do not come down from the wall that I'm calling you to build. And then another lesson that I want to share with you this morning that we've been reminded of and that has once again just been confirmed to us is the importance of living in community through the church with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We would not have been able to do this on our own apart from our church family. Apart from the encouragement that we received from our church family, apart from the support that we received in helping us raise the money and the funds to make this adoption a reality. From the time that we shared what God had laid on our heart to do this adoption of Shine and Fawinski, our church family rallied around us and supported us. And helped us. They rallied around us with prayer and bathing this process in prayer. They rallied around us to help us raise money and put together the fundraisers to help this become a reality. When we started this process, we were members over at First Baptist Church Denton. And from the word go, our church family gathered around us and said, we want to be a part. We want to be a part of this journey. And they have. When God called us here to Southmont in June of 2016, so we've been here now a little more than 2.5 years, this church family continued to support us and rally around us and say, we want to be a part of this journey. And we want to join with you in helping you raise the money and have the prayer support and be a part of this process of bringing our children home to our family. And so this has been a reminder of how incredibly important it is to be a part of what Jesus himself founded in the New Testament church. And not speaking as a pastor for the moment, but just simply speaking as a member of the church, as a member of Southmont Baptist Church, as a member of what used to be, or a former member of what we were at First Baptist, just speaking to you as a member of the local body of Christ, I honestly have no idea how people make it apart from the support and the encouragement that you receive being a part of the local body of Christ called the New Testament Church. It really is an incredible blessing that God has given to us and that He's called us to be a part of the church. And for those believers who choose not to be a part of a church, really blows my mind, or those who say, I can be a believer in Christ and not be a part of the local body called the church, because everything that Christ did and founded for us comes to life through the local body of believers called the church. And so this is just confirmed for us how important it is for us to be actively a part of that local body and allowing God to use that to support and encourage and help His children through what He has called them to do in life. And then the fourth lesson that I want to share with you, and it's just a reminder again that has been etched deep into our hearts, is the faithfulness of God and how God is just always faithful. And there's never a moment, there's never a time when God is not faithful. And if He calls you to do something, then you can know that He will be faithful to bring it to pass, that He will be faithful to accomplish it. This process has brought verses to mind like Psalm 36:5 that says, "Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Just saying that His faithfulness knows no bounds. There's no limits to God's faithfulness. And this process has been a reminder to us of that. Psalm 105 says, "For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness is to all generations." And again, the Cocker family can stand up here and say, we are a generation where God's faithfulness has been proven once again. First Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He will bring it to pass." And that's exactly what God does. This particular verse, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, he's talking about salvation, just saying God has been faithful in calling you to a relationship with Him, and you can trust that He will bring it to pass. All the promises that He's made, He's going to do. But it fits as well, just whatever God calls us to do, whether that's a salvation first and foremost, but then in that relationship with Him, when He calls us to whatever endeavor, whatever journey that He wants us to be on, and whatever He has laid on our heart to do, when He calls us to do it, here is the one absolute truth that we can know, that when He calls you, He will equip you and enable you to accomplish it. He will forever be faithful to meet your every need and bring about the great work that He has accomplished in your life. And again, we are a living testimony of God's faithfulness. I want to close by just showing and sharing with you a video of our Gotcha Day, a video of so many who were there at the airport to greet us when we got off the plane. Again, a testimony of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ and the believers that gathered with us, just to say, again, we are in this journey with you. We support you. And I know that not everyone on this journey could be there. And it happened on a Wednesday night, which is a church night. And lots of our church family and friends were committed to church activities and things, responsibilities that they had. But it's just, again, a reminder of the importance of surrounding your life with your brothers and sisters in Christ and your church community and your church family. So here's the video.